Welcome to the Teachers to Tech podcast. I'm your host, Dean. This is the podcast where we tell you how you can grow your tech skills, whether you're starting from scratch or just want to go farther. You might be thinking about a new job, a whole new career, or just a new hobby. We'll have something for everyone, so keep listening. Welcome to this episode of Teachers to Tech. I want to start out with a question. Do you ever need to capture opinions from a group? Or you want to get some input to help with planning you're doing? Or maybe you say, hey, I want to add a little interest to this thing I'm doing, and I'm going to send out a little bit of a quiz to see how much people already know, or some trivia to get them interested in my topic. Well, keep listening, and you're going to learn how to create and use forms that you can create easily with Google and Microsoft products. But before we do that, I want to take just a minute and give a shout out to some loyal listeners. So thank you, Diane, Kim, Nemo, and Joe. I appreciate the time you spend listening. Today's topic has a low learning curve and a big payout and no upfront expenditure, which, as you know, I'm big on. In this episode, I want to tell you how to create surveys and tests in Google and Microsoft Forms. These are easy to build and they are easy to use. You may want to do something as simple as get a little feedback from a website that you've put out, or you might want to build a quiz. You might want to gather individual opinions or get some statistics from a poll. Fortunately, two of the biggest names in the Office application suite business offer methods for creating those forms, and they'll allow you to easily use all kinds of questions with just drag and drop designing. I'm going to tell you how that works. Before we get there, though, I want to talk about a couple of the benefits of using forms. First of all, they're easy to share. You can create a form and then send a link out to whoever you want to have answer that form. You can create a QR code that anybody can open the form with by just pointing their phone at the QR code. You can even say, hey, I want this form to show up right in an email I'm sending out, so your users can respond immediately when they get the email. On top of that, as you're building the form, you'll notice that in your design view, there's also a tab or a link that will get you to look at the responses you've received. You can take a look at all the aggregate data. Hey, 10 people have responded, and 8 of them said they'd rather meet on Tuesday than Wednesday. Things like that that can be added up or shown to you in charts and graphs and given to you as totals and averages. But you could also look at individual responses still split out. And if you've decided, hey, I want to see who responded in what way, you can ask in the form for your users to identify themselves. And then you know, for instance, hey, I'm planning lunch for this meeting, and I need to know if anybody has a special diet or food allergies. You need to know which person that is, don't you? And so you would have them identify themselves in the form, and then you could know whose lunch is whose that way. So you can keep that in your individual view. On top of that, if you're working with a lot of numbers and you want to crunch them, both of the products offer a way to put the data you've gathered into a spreadsheet. So you can work with the data, you can aggregate it, you can slice it, you can dice it, you can filter it, do whatever you want with it that you know how to do in a spreadsheet. I mentioned before that your form can be a quiz. If you choose to create a quiz, you can set the form to check all the questions that are closed-ended. The answers can be given point values, and then if you have answers linked to a spreadsheet, you can do your own item analysis, or you can use the spreadsheet as a gradebook. So you'll be able to offer the quiz, have it grade itself, dump all the scores by question into a gradebook or into a spreadsheet, depending on how you want to use that. And you don't have to do any of the tedious work. You can work more with your students. Setting up a form is a very visual process, so I'm going to present a basic walkthrough for this episode. Otherwise, it would be really boring and confusing because you can't see it. But I will be recording a short screencast demonstrating a simple Google form and posting it on the Tech Migration website. So look for the link in the show notes when you get a chance. You can also use the contact form on the Tech Migration website. It's the contact form for this show, and you can get a look at an example of a Google form in action. If you decide, hey, I'd rather use Microsoft Forms, you're going to find that there is a very similar set of features and there is a very similar setup. So let's talk about the actual process of setting up a Google form. First of all, make sure that you have a Google account you can sign into, because that's where all of your creations will be saved, whether they are spreadsheets or documents or forms like we're doing now. So we get into that account, sign in, then we go to forms.google.com. From here, we can press the button that says plus blank. And when we do that, we'll have a new window open and that will have a blank form in it. It's best to give that form a title right away. That'll be at the top of the form and it will be what the form is saved under. So if you go back to open it up later, you'll be able to identify, hey, this is what I made for whatever purpose. So here's where I had to cut back my description just a little bit because we have so much variety we can get into. But we are beginning to add our form fields now, or you might say our quiz items or our poll questions. We have so many different types that I had to cut back which ones I would mention. I'm going to start off by dividing them into two types, the open-ended questions and the closed-ended items. The open-ended are easy. You probably already know what I mean by that, but they are the short answer where we've got a limited number of characters we can use in our response, or the paragraph where we can go on a lot longer. We separate these two out because it can affect how we see our responses, especially if we're going to dump things into a spreadsheet. And maybe later we're going to do something with that spreadsheet data, and we just can't have a whole lot of characters in most of our answers that are freeform typing. So we keep those to the short answer, but they're still freeform text. And then when we really need to let a respondent cut loose and say, hey, I need to tell you how this class went this week, and it's going to take me a bit to type this all in. Well, okay, then we can give them a paragraph. After that, we have got our closed-ended items in all kinds of varieties, and I don't want to talk about them all, but I'm going to give you some examples, and I'm going to mention some other features along the way too here. First of all, we've got multiple choice. It's just what you think. You're given a prompt, and you are going to respond by choosing one of the preset answers. Then, if we want our respondent to be able to choose more than one answer at the same time, for instance, if we said, which make of vehicle do you own? And we want to allow that respondent to say, well, I own this make and I own that make, all in the same answer. Then we give them checkboxes where they can have multiple answers. I can also have a list that is a dropdown, and we can choose some item off the list. And this is handy when we think it might be something somebody wants to type in, but they might spell it wrong. Or we want to give them a whole bunch of choices, and some of them they might not have thought of before, but we can prompt them by putting them in this drop-down list. It's a little bit easier to put a question with 20 different answers in as a drop-down than it is to have a checkbox for 20 different items. So that's one use of the drop-down. Now we also have things we can use for rating. For instance, a linear scale. On a scale of 1 to 5, how good do you think this item is? And 5 being the best, 1 being the worst, etc. Multiple choice grids that allow you to do the same type of thing for multiple items at the same time. Check boxes that are similar. We can have date and time fields. We can allow a respondent to upload a file. So if we say, hey, we're going to get some information from you, but we need your response here. Maybe it's a cover letter, something like that. And then we can create a section header and we could say, we've got more than one section to this survey. And where that comes in handy is when we ask a question like, do you own this vehicle or that vehicle? And we have different sections of questions depending on the vehicle. So we might ask different questions about a pickup than we would about a coupe, and we can have a question set up that the answer says, if they say they've got a coupe, we're going to skip to this section and ask those questions. If they have a pickup, we're going to skip to this other section and ask those questions, and they don't have to go to the section that doesn't apply to them. That's called branching, and it's very easy to set up. In fact, it's so easy that I took the form I used in the first video, I added three questions, and based on your answer to the first added question, you either move on to the second or you skip over it because you don't need it, and you go right to the last question in the form. We can do that in about 4 minutes. You'll see how easy it is when you watch that, and I'm of course going to have a mention of that in the show notes, but all you have to do is go to our tech migration website that you probably already know about, and you can view that along with a lot of other resources. Well, I told you that this was pretty much an easy topic to cover, and we have come to the end of it already, and we've come to the end of our season. Now, I do have plans for one or two bonus episodes, and I've got ideas for the next season already, so yes, there will be more, but I do want to thank you for listening, and don't forget us while we take a brief pause. Thank you. That's all we have for today. This is Dean saying thanks for listening, and we hope to have you back with us next time on Teachers to Tech.